I give honor to God for being here. It's my first time. I guess since the foundation of the world was laid, I've never been here. So I'm privileged and I thank God for the honor and for the chance. And as Bob says, I've truly become his friend, not because of anything special that I am, but because 30 years ago, I had the privilege to come to know the Lord Jesus. I was not brought up in a Christian home, but God knows how to wedge us in from different ways. Never grew up a Christian, never went to church. But all that put aside, if God has his mark, if God has a label on anyone, it does not matter how far you are, he is still going to track you down and bring you in. And so my joy this morning is to the fact that I am born again and I love Jesus. And I've experienced a joyful and a gracious walk with the Lord for the last 30 years. And that does not make me any older. I'm only 100 years minus 50. So, or less 50. So we bless the Lord. I'm married to one wife according to the scriptures. God has blessed me with three children. My firstborn is 20. She is in college. She is as beautiful as her mother. And I have two boys who are as smart as their father, of course. I have Praise, who is 20, Ted Emmanuel, who is 16, and Teddy, who is 14. We are doing everything we can to raise them up in the Lord, to know the ways of the Lord. And that should be the prayer of every parent, that our children should be able to walk in the ways that would please the Lord and impact their time and their generation. I am again here in this country, and my friend Bob, with Mom Madonna, they asked me to come. I was somewhere in Arkansas. I said, these are my friends. We network together through Bible distribution and literature that we use in schools and in prisons. And so many other churches have the benefit of sharing the Word of God with them through those Bibles. And I do appreciate for the chance and the privilege of being here, and also for the leadership of the church to allow me to stand here. I live in Kenya in a little town called Eldoret. That is northwest of Nairobi. Very close to the equator, 8,000 feet high, or some places a little bit higher than that, 2 hours to the Ugandan border where the River Nile flows from. And I have a little bit of a presentation here to just show you just a little bit of what we do. God has opened a door for us to do prison ministry, doing college ministry and schools, and doing evangelistic crusades, besides pastoring a church. And I hope you'll be able to, as you look at it, you'll be able to find something to pray for us over. Yes, I am. That's downtown Eldoret. Some hotels in town. Some of the neighborhoods there. And majority of the people, the 930,000 people you could see there, most of them are spread across those slums. If you need fresh potatoes, then you'll give me a call. That's a bus station, and those guys have one slogan. There's always one room for more. They never get filled up. That is our church building. We've been there for 2 years, getting to a third year in October. We had to put all those razor wires, walls they have stolen from us 5 times. And there's a conference we were doing, like 1 week conference, revival meeting. That's my wife there. We call children in front and send them to their church. And those are some of the prison ministries, ministry opportunities we have. This is just almost the other day. The one up to the right has about 2,000 people in it, 6 hours away from us. And prisons there don't have mattresses, not even any bed. Not even a carpet like this, just concrete floor. You've given 2 blankets. Some women may have children in there up to 4 years. Then they have to be taken away from the prison. Now when we go in, as the Lord provides, we carry with us supplies. And above all, we take some Bibles in, Swahili Bible. There's just soap and toilet papers. Sometimes they don't have. I went to one prison for 2 months. They had no toilet paper. Those are the Bibles we received from Heralds of Hope, the one in blue. And we had Todd and Ed come to us in January. So we had we put them to work. Now the prison we are in here has about 5,000 people. But divided into 4 sections. There is Todd and Ed and his wife. So this particular one would have like 600 men in it. The guy with the microphone is a chaplain, but he's also an officer there. Very good brother. As I said, we carry supplies. We went to one prison that had no soap for 2 months, and just seeing soap, they just started dancing. This is a college I was preaching in just a few days before I came over here and talking to about 3,000 students in their service. Those are outdoor evangelistic crusades. Preach to these motorcycle drivers. Go talk to them, sit them down and share the gospel. In February we had a medical camp. That about 2,082 people had treatment in 2 days. We had a waiting place where somebody shared the gospel. And the last spot there is the tent where all of them passed there. And we had about 20 pastors praying with them and counseling with them. That's Dave Miller from Gospel Express. He was in Nairobi and so he came over. And that's taught during the pastors and church leaders seminar, 2 days in our church. So in front of our church there, that meeting brought together like 400 plus church leaders. We did one and we did the next one in another town. We did 2 days pastors leadership meeting. That's pretty close to the border. And there is my generation. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'd appreciate for your prayers. Thank you, man. Man, the first time I ever found a group of people appreciating with clapping in this country. I want to come back another time. I'm serious. I've walked with Bob and Donna, and I never went anywhere. We've shown some of this, and just a little bit of what we do. But you guys, you just encourage me. Pray for us as we do prison ministry. Sometimes we meet people like 2,000 people in prison, and we only have like 50 Bibles. So how do you divide 50 Bibles amongst 2,000 men? So what we do, we place those Bibles in the hands of group leaders, and about 15 to 20 people can use one Bible in their room to study God's Word. And I do really appreciate for your prayers, and whichever way God puts it in your heart to pray for us, we would receive that. For the sake of time, I want us to turn to our Bibles in the book of Esther. I pass a church, and I'm a preacher. My best thing to do, which I think is more than basketball, and I don't mean to be negative about it, of soccer, is preaching the word. If you put me to preach, I can do it as long as time allows. And I usually preach for 3 hours straight, but at least this morning I will have grace and mercy. Would you go with me, please, to the Bible in the book of Esther chapter 2? Esther chapter 2. I want to share with us on how God prepares us for His service. How God prepares us for His service. And we are seeing a story here talking about how God used someone that didn't have any serious background, her family not properly known, and she didn't even have parents, and God used her to become a source of deliverance. And God used Esther to be a platform for His agenda to be fulfilled amongst His people. So in Esther chapter 2, I'm going to read just a few verses. The Bible says, After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servants who attended him said, "Let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to Shushan the citadel into the women's quarters under the custody of Hegai. And the king's eunuchs, custodian of the women, and let beauty preparations be given them." I like that part, beauty preparations. "Then let the young women who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti." And this thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, and the son of Kish, a Benjamite. And verse 7, "Now Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful when her father and mother died, and Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king's commandment and decree were heard," verse 8, "and when many young women were gathered at Shushan the citadel under the custody of Hegai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace and into the care of Hegai, the custodian of women." I want to jump over to verse 12. "And each young woman's turn came in to go into the king, to go into King Ahasuerus after She had completed 12 months preparations according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparations appointed, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. I want us to share a little bit on how God prepares us for service. The story is about a king that is wanting to demonstrate his glorious kingdom, his wealth, his success. And he does that by calling for a celebration that lasted 7 days. In his time of celebration, there was drinking and all of that. And the Bible says that at the same time this king was having his banquet, Vashti was also on the other side having her own ceremony. And afterwards, he realizes that all the marrying and all the party is over, so he requested where Vashti was, and Vashti had not come to his party, and the king became very angry. So the word says he called for some of his wise men and requested of them what should be done to a queen that does not respect the king's decree. Of course, every kind of idea was given to him. And he was told that let a decree be made that some young, beautiful women be sought after and be prepared so that they can be able to replace the queen. So, the Bible says, as they looked for these young virgins, there was another one somewhere that was hid. She was indeed actually a slave, and she had lost all of her parents, so she lived with her cousin Mordecai. And as other women were called upon, Esther also happened to have been in the list. But nobody was allowed to just show up before the king just like that. They were supposed to be prepared in a period of 1 year. Now that's what I want to look at. That you're supposed to be in an office, you're supposed to be in charge, or you're supposed to be in responsibility over something, and it looks like you're not just getting it right there. It takes a certain amount of time to go through a process to be able to be called a queen of that kingdom. Now, it was 12 months, 6 months use of oil and myrrh, and another 6 months of oil. And when the preparation was over, then the Bible says that Esther had favor, first of all, with the man that was in charge of the custody of the women. And Esther qualifies to become the one that would replace Vashti. So my sermon this morning is how God prepares us for his service. Esther is taken from nowhere, no parent, no serious background. But I'm glad to say to you that God is able to use anybody as long as we are willing to fall into his plan. Esther has to undergo preparation just like any one of those women. And here are the reasons that I think Esther had to be prepared. Number one, preparation was necessary to increase her confidence. God has a job for us. God has a work he wants us to be involved in. And God wants to work with us. But God also wants us to do a good job. So whatever he calls us for, I believe God will allow a certain amount of time so that we can be prepared for that particular assignment. Esther needed preparation so that her confidence can be increased. Think about somebody that has no parents. Think about somebody that is a slave. And here, you're being called to become a queen. It looks to me that if she was just walked straight into the palace, she was still going to be a queen, but not with much necessary information as she would have needed. So they put them under serious preparation to be able to increase her confidence. The second thing about preparation, that Esther would have grown a little more mature to be able to function in the office that she was being called into. So God wants us to be involved in His work. And God has a job for each one of us to do. But I believe He's interested in us doing His work and doing it in a satisfactory manner. That's why preparation is necessary. And it calls for us, in whatever God calls for us to do, we need, or sometimes we would have to be prepared for that work. Some of us need preparation a little more in our education. Some of us need preparation more in our physical life. We need preparation to grow a little more emotionally and spiritually. And as I was looking at the scriptures, I found out some relevant examples of people that God picked and used, and God prepared methods in how He was going to use them. So the first thing I'm about to say, and I need you to listen to this, or I request rather, how God prepares us for His service, just like Esther was prepared. Sometimes it's kind of hard to know exactly how do you do God's work. Maybe you have a burden, you have a calling within you, but what does it take really to be involved in God's service? The first thing that I found out is the example of Moses and his parents. God uses the influence of godly parents to prepare some of us for His service. Look at Moses. Moses is born at a time that there is a decree that every male child born of the Hebrew must be killed. And the word of God says when they hid him for 3 months and they could no longer hide him, because they knew that he was a goodly looking child, they could no longer hide him. So his mama made a basket and let him flow into the water. And later on, the king's daughter would come into that river. It's funny how God does His things. A king's daughter comes to swim in a dirty river. Think about it like Donald Trump's daughter comes to swim in one of the rivers in Pennsylvania. That's not very normal. But when God is interested in getting on to somebody, He can orchestrate everything He knows how to get us into His service. So God used the influence of the parents of Moses to prepare him for his service. Why am I saying that? The word of God says there's this man called Amram, and he marries Jochebed, and they have a child called Moses. And when they could no longer hide him, they let him flow into the river. And the child was discovered. The king's daughter was given the child. And basically, you can be able to say that Moses grew amongst the Egyptians. So Moses could have known pretty well the language of the Egyptians, the practice of the palace. He could have understood all the protocols of White House, if you may call it that way. But what is amazing to me is that after some time, Moses is called of God, and at some point he refuses to refer to himself as an Egyptian. Now, how do you hand over a baby of 3 months to be taught a language, a foreign language and a foreign practice, and he still finds a way of maintaining his identity as a Hebrew? Now, something must have happened. When Moses was discovered in that river, they quickly told the king's daughter, "Shall we find you a nurse to take care of this baby?" And guess who they brought? They went and brought his own mother. So Moses, in my own understanding, could have spent much of his early childhood life with his own mama. And for Moses to come to the point that he refuses to be referred to as Pharaoh's child, Moses could have understood something about the Hebrew practice, the Hebrew culture, and their God, which was different from the Egyptian gods. What am I saying, ladies and gentlemen, this morning? That God uses the influence of godly parents to be able to shape some of us for His service. And we should be thankful that there are people that have gone ahead of us. To some of us, that you have godly parents, you've been brought up from church, and you are people that have laid the foundation. We should be able to be thankful that God has allowed people to go ahead of us to kind of chart the pattern for our life and our call and our service. And we can serve God not from the blues, but because somebody has already laid the foundation for us. And as I was reading Hebrews, the Bible says that Moses at some point says, I'm not an Egyptian. For him to be able to have such kind of confidence, somebody must have been pouring and pouring into his life. And who was that? Likely his mama. We should be thankful that godly heritage passed on over to us is one of those things, one of those avenues that God uses to prepare us for his service. The second thing I wanted to show you here, how God uses us or prepares us for his service. Go with me, if you don't mind, into Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7 and verse 23. I look at a few verses there. The first thing I'm saying, the influence of a godly heritage is one way that God uses to prepare us for his service. And the second thing is this. Acts of the Apostles chapter 7 and verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old. This is Stephen giving a testimony. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now Stephen is talking about Moses. At one time, Moses had found an Egyptian fighting with an Israelite. And Moses came in to the aid of an Israelite. He struck the Egyptian and killed him. And that matter was settled. The next day, verse 26, he showed himself unto them as they strolled and would have set them at once again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren. How did he know that? Why do you wrong one another? Verse 29. Then fled Moses at his saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. What am I seeing here? I don't want to keep you long on this, but how God prepares us for his service. Number one, he uses the influence of godly heritage passed on over to us. And number two, sometimes God may be able to use period of silence. Moses had helped an Egyptian from fighting a Hebrew boy. And he killed the Egyptian and buried him. And that matter was like nobody knew about it. The next day he shows up and he finds now the Israelite fighting his own brother. And he went in amongst them and tried to separate them. And one of them looked at him and said, look, who has made you a leader of us? Do you think you're going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses realized that things are not good here. So what happened? He took off for his life. And for 40 years straight, nothing is being heard about it. So there is a time that I call periods of silence that God is able to use to prepare his people for service. There's a time that you're alone. There's a time that things that you thought should work don't work your way. There are those moments when it's just silent. You don't seem to understand what is going on. Sometimes you may feel uncomfortable about the silence, but God may still be involved in that period of silence to use it to prepare you for what he wants you to accomplish. And so not all periods of less activity may be activated or may be satanic. Some of them are moments that God wants to shape you better in a moment when you're alone. In times when you're all by yourself, nothing seems to be working real quick. There is not any signs. But in those moments, if we waited a little longer, periods of silence, God is able to come through and teach us some great stuff in that moment of silence. As a matter of fact, some of the deepest things that people learn about God, they don't learn it in a crowd. Some of the deepest things that people hear God saying to them is not where everybody is around them. God sometimes may choose to speak to us in periods of silence. And right there in 40 years of silence, then God shows up to Moses in a burning bush. Look at it. Nobody had nothing about Moses' life when he fled into the wilderness for those 40 years. Have you ever come to a point that you wonder things are not being heard about you and you're just almost all by yourself? I want you not to be discouraged. I want to encourage you that it can be a moment that you're into God's preparation for his service. And lastly, I've talked about godly heritage passed on to us. And secondly, periods of silence. God appears to Moses in a period of silence and he speaks to him that he wants him to be a deliverer to his people. Think about 1 Samuel chapter 17 and from verse 17. Think about 1 Samuel 17, 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for your brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And verse 18, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000 and look how your brothers fare on and take their pledge. What did I find as I read that scripture? God uses assigned responsibilities to prepare people for his service. Again, I don't know about America, but we are people in Kenya that say things like this. Man, I want to come to church, but please don't get me involved in doing anything. I don't know about the U.S. But in Kenya, we have people that say, I'm okay coming to church. I want to sit. I want to hear the gospel. I want to hear music if there is, singing if there is. But please, just don't let me do nothing. I just want to come to church, sit, turn around, and go home. There are people that find it a bother to be assigned responsibility of any nature in God's work. So they are rather comfortable than just to come to church. And they say, I don't want to get into leadership. I don't want to get to usher. I don't want to get to do this and the other. But let me tell you this. God sometimes uses responsibilities that may be assigned to us to prepare us for his service. Some of those responsibilities may be just small assignments. It may be closing the door. It may be preparing the envelopes. It may be preparing the bulletins. And how many people do we have today in our time that take with joy the assignment they might find or be given to them in God's house and do it gladly? How many people would rather, let somebody else do that. Let somebody else do that. Please, don't bother me. I've got too much on my life. Listen to me, friend. There is something that God is doing when you undertake those responsibilities and is preparing you for service. Always be upfront. Put your right foot in front. If there is something that needs to be done, let there everybody else not come, but you are there saying, I'll take that. I will be responsible. I will be there. Is there anything that needs to be done? We find it hard in our time today, in our country. If you want anything small to be done in God's house, the first thing that people ask is, there a pay for it? Am I getting anything from that? And once people realize there's no pay, they would say, okay, I don't do church work. But I've come to understand that there is a great joy and a pleasure in the privilege of being involved in God's work. And each time we respond to responsibilities, God is preparing us for his work. And lastly, sometimes God presents you with needs. It may be needs of others. It may be needs of the church you go to. And I'm looking at the story about Gideon in Judges chapter 6. I will not be able to read that. But Gideon is threshing wheat and he's hiding because the Philistines kept on coming and destroying the crops. And the Bible says how impoverished the Israelites became because the enemies kept on attacking them. But at this time, Gideon is threshing wheat, hiding, because the enemy should not find him. And right there, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon begins like, "What are you saying? You don't understand. I have no value at all. I am the least. My family amounts to nothing." And what God was doing here, God was presenting the need of delivering the children of Israel through this man that considers himself to be worthless. Brothers, listen to this. God prepares us for his service, number one, by a use of godly heritage passed on to us, and sometimes through periods of silence, and sometimes he presents you a need, and those needs may not necessarily to bother you. They may be that God prepares you to pray for someone or be involved in something because he wants to use you for a greater work. Have you ever thought how God is interested in inviting you to work alongside him? And he's not going to start you probably out there. He allows you to look at the pattern laid by the godly parents that have gone ahead of us. And sometimes, if you find periods of silence, don't complain about it. It's just because God is speaking to you. I invite you to bow your heads with me for a word of prayer this morning. Now, dear God, we come before you this morning today. You're doing a great work amongst us and through us and with us and even away from us. And you're interested in inviting us to work with you. But God, we ask you that you may also prepare us for whatever you're calling us for. My prayer today, that someone in this service, someone in this community, a child or an adult, some of them have served the Lord and some of them are yet to. I pray that God, you will be able to let us know the methods that you want to use to prepare us for what you're calling us for. There is still yet a work to be done, and you want people that can effectively be involved in what you're doing across the world. My prayer today that God, you raise up a desire and a thirst and a passion in the hearts of men and women to be willing to put their lives online and to be able to have the pleasure of doing the service of God. It can be in their church, in their community, or even in other nations. Thank you, Lord, because whomsoever you choose to use, you also want to prepare them. And this is what we've learned today. You used Esther, but she went through preparation. My prayer is that you would bless and empower and encourage and minister to the people in this congregation today, that each one of us do realize from young and old that there is a work for us to be involved in, and it's called God's work. And thank you, Lord, for the answers as we ask you for your faithful to answer our prayers. And we give thanks to the Lord and a prayer blessing in Jesus' name. And God's people would say amen. Thanks for your